And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Standin.
Good morning, anglers. Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup coming your way right here. Having a great time here this morning. Facebook and YouTube live. The Let's Talk Hookup app, 1090 AM, the Sports Grid Radio Network. However you're taking it in this morning, we're having lots of fun dishing out some fishing info and really just getting to talk fishing with a couple of great buds. It's been a really fun show. Can't believe we've already burned through an hour of it. But what a great time this has been, Corey.
I agree with you, Rick, and hanging out with you and Brandon, just a great time, and sharing fishing stories and techniques and just having a great time. And you want to join us? The lines are full right now, but 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. You got a question or whatever, make sure you do leave your name, telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego.
Yeah, what a great prize that is.
Or you can go on a three-quarter-day trip right now they're having. I'm sure they would accept that, and you can get the local yellow.
Anytime you get the pleasure of fishing with Captain White Lightning, I would jump on that opportunity.
Is that his nickname?
Yeah, that is his nickname. One of many nicknames. Yeah.
White Lightning.
So you guys fished a ton together your whole lives. You are now part of a jig company together. He's a tremendous jig fisherman. If you has a lure risen to a favorite amongst you and or Brawla, are they the same? Are they different? I mean, we all know that there's different lures for different times and all those things, but do you have a lure that you guys make that you're the most proud of, or like, well, this is probably the one that I find myself tying on the most often?
That's a super difficult question, because each individual one, you know, has its time and place, but definitely I am leaning towards the direction. I really dig the largest version offering that we do offer, which is the Giga, which would be the equivalent of your maybe Sala 7X or Candy Bar or Starman 112 size jig, but it's a little bit...
Starman 112. Did I hear that?
Yeah.
Candy Bar, man.
Yeah. It's a little bit larger. It's a little bit denser jig, and it's a jig that kind of everybody, regardless of, I suppose, skill level or ability to cast far, can cast a good enough distance to get a bite from a yellowtail. And they all seem to swim maybe slightly better than maybe any other lure we have on the wall at Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop. I think they're just a notch above kind of everything else. And there's, you know, a time and place for a 240, a 270, a 300. But the mini, as you have experienced, like, it's odd that, you know, there are opportunities to fish this tiny jig where nothing else will get a bite, but this one tiny surface iron, if fished on the appropriate gear, will get a bite when surface iron kind of wasn't an option.
I like that it's tiny, but it's not ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it's not tiny. It's small. And there's a difference there, because I've seen a lot of things that, like, you know, I'll joke with some of our guys and make them. There's a lot of things that belong as keychains, and they should remain that way. This is a surface iron, but it's a small one. Like, when they're on small bait, it's castable, it's fishable. You can fish it on full-size tackle. I like that lure a lot.
You know what I'm smelling with that one?
What?
Salto.
Oh, yeah, I could see a scenario where if you know, especially at El Salto, you could get bites on.
I'm just thinking.
For sure.
All right, well, I'm just thinking.
Keep that energy. We got a text that's coming that's going to require that attention. But first, we're going to deal with these jam-packed phone calls, because that's exactly what they are. Lines are absolutely plugged. Let's jump into it, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Hills? Hills Calm from Ventura. Good morning, Hills.
What's up, Hills? Oh, bummer if we lost Hills there.
Did we?
Well, why don't we try to grab one more?
How about Dana? Dana Calm from Ocean Beach. Good morning, Dana.
Well, phones might be dealing with there, so we'll see if we can get with JP and get that figured out. But in the meantime, I guess it is time to read this text.
Yeah.
Now, I know that this one is not going to be a fast answer, and I know both of you quite well, so it's going to be very difficult for you to answer this, but you're going to have to do your best. So good morning, boys. What a great time it was talking calico bass yesterday. I love the info that Benny gave, and because of which I went right into Fisherman's, and I bought six of the two fish surface iron jigs. My question is, I'm going to Lake Picacho in March. What are four or five of the most important outfits to bring? I know how difficult that is to bring. I've got 15 rods and reels with Metaniums and Zodius rods. But what are the four or five that are the most important for a trip to Picacho?
Let's clear the air first.
Yeah.
I'm very simple.
Yep.
Brandon is the...
I mean, very not.
Yeah, I'm very complicated. Very
the very most technical, like...
Yeah.
If I bring five rods, he's got 15.
Yeah.
There's 20 between us.
Yeah, I am a weirdo in my love for fishing yeah. tackle, more specifically bass fishing tackle, and I get so specific with every rod, every reel, every line choice, and to narrow it down to five, I certainly could.
But you can at least appreciate that texter's question.
Yeah.
He didn't say what's the one. Well, the one doesn't exist.
Yeah, does not.
That
yeah.
doesn't exist.
Well, to Corey Sandin, it does.
Yeah.
Well,
but Picacho's a little more dynamic, though,
yeah.
I mean, I think. But what would be your number one there?
My number one yeah. rod and reel choice, you know, I guess not to get...
technique.
Yeah, not to get into specific manufacturers,
yeah.
I would say, let's call it a 7'3" medium heavy rod. I think
okay.
a 7'3"
yeah.
medium heavy rod with a 150 size reel with, let's call it, 30 to 40 pound braid. I think that one rod and reel would be the A alpha most important rod and reel that I would bring. And
for what technique?
Well, on that particular setup, you could fish a topwater bait, which is
yeah.
super important for picachos.
Yeah.
You could, and when I say that, I mean a treble hooked topwater bait. You could fish a jerk bait. You could fish a fluke. You could fish one of the best lures that is available down there, which is MC swim bait. the 4-inch weedless MC
fun.
Swim bait
yeah,
at picachos
is
lights
fun.
Out. But also with that same rig, you could fish a weightless presentation like a Senko or an Ica, or you could fish a bottom contact presentation like a lizard or a 10-inch worm. All of those are important. But for me and for you and for those that have been down to Picacho's, it is bass fishing Disneyland, and more often than not, you can catch them how you want to catch them. So I would say whatever your favorite techniques are, those five rods should fall in that category and come prepared with lots of whatever you like to catch them on, because you're going to go through them.
You will. And for me, I think if you've got difficulty catching them the way you want to,
yeah.
you're definitely going to get them on a shallow crank.
Oh, yeah.
Like
No matter what.
Like, and if you have your best day ever, like I know Taro's got a video where he's catching them this way and then flipping behind his back and winding them in from behind his back. Shallow crank is going to get them. Like,
yeah.
you get on a school, Brandon and I together...
What was that big number?
I know, and
I will say this, too. Brandon is fantastic. He's such a great partner on the lake. Like, he knows exactly what he caught. Brings the clicker, clicks every one. He knows exactly how many fish he took the hooks at. We don't get back to the lodge and be like, how many did you guys get? Like, oh, we easily had 70. Like, how about you guys? Like, we had 42.
Yeah.
We had 42 fish for the morning. That is what we had. We didn't estimate. He knew every one.
We had 3.5 days of fishing.
Yeah.
Brandon's clicker.
Yeah.
We had to get over the number, over the hump.
Yeah.
We had 1,001.
Yeah. We were at 997 on our last half day, but our best day at Picacho's, we had 338. I'll never forget it. It was
That's two guys.
We just counted our fish, but also our Ponga captain, our driver. He was also fishing, and you could have added his numbers. I did not. I only clicked me and Corey's fish, and we had 338. It was the single best numbers day of bass fishing I've ever had in my life.
You start breaking down like the numbers of that, and it seems impossible.
Yeah.
You know, you start thinking about how many hours are in the day and how many casts it takes to catch 338 fish. Like, it doesn't seem possible, but Picacho's is a place where you do things that don't seem possible.
That day we spent more time taking bass off of our lures than we did anything else.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
There was probably more time with the lure in the boat than there was out of the boat.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I hope that answers your question. And, fun show yesterday. And hope those two fish jigs swim for you. I'm glad you snatched a couple up after the show.
They will.
I know.
They will.
Well, why don't we jump back into the phones? And I'm with you, Corey. I see a two fish mini catching a fish in a Mexico bass lake at some point this year.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Picachos for sure. Yeah.
El Salto for sure.
Yeah.
Dude, throw that thing out in 25 feet of water and wind it through the water column.
Yeah.
The one thing.
I'm already tight, man. I can feel the bite.
And they stay in the water so good.
Yeah.
Your lures do. They just do. They stay in the water very good. That's a gripe that I have with some other surface irons that exist these days is you get fired up and you try to turn the handle fast and fire that bite up on one, and the next thing you know, the thing's skipping out of the water. They stay in the water good. Even the little ones stay in the water great.
Yeah, they do.
I like them.
There's nothing worse than to end your cast where you're most productive is once that surface iron comes out of the water, the gig is up.
Well, or how about there's one just peeling it, tracking the thing down, getting ready to do it because he's following what you're giving him, and next thing you know, the thing just starts skiing out of the water, just watching him peel off, or even worse, watching him peel off and eat the lure of the guy next to you.
Or I was going
to
say pulling up on a bird school, and lay a cast right perfectly, leading them in the nose, and you take three turns of the handle, your jig pops out of the water, and you blew it, and the two guys behind you both catch one.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
I don't know what that must be like, but it's got to be horrible for that guy.
That show I'm standing behind you.
That show with Danny Wade and now with Brandon, I am so fired up about surface irons.
I love it. Well, let's see if we got those phones worked out. JP's probably got us covered here.
I know it. Hills, are you there, Hills?
We got you. We got you now, Hills.
One, two.
Yeah.
Morning.
I'm here. And he. Oh yeah. Hey. I'm so stoked. Except for I'm really bummed because I just had a fish come off. I got my lucky craft with the owner one out replacement hooks. You know, and I don't know what it was. I think it was a striper. I don't know. I didn't think. But anyways, that's fishing, and it's a really exciting part. I got bit. This is such a great community, the Let's Talk Hookup community. I was talking to Mike from Torrance yesterday, and, you know, this is a special group of people that enjoy the radio show, and I've learned so much, and Mike concurs, but... Hey, are you guys going to have the Christmas Spectacular? Because I was telling Mike, you better start working on his ditty or his poem, you know, for the Christmas Spectacular.
There is no way Let's Talk Hookup will ever not have the Christmas Spectacular for sure. So Pete will be able to give you the particulars on exactly what day we pick. It's traditionally always the Saturday before the big day. But I'll see if I can't text Pete and tell you exactly what day Christmas Spectacular is. But yeah, you better believe it. It's a tradition we're not going to get rid of. And we've been challenging and teasing one of the guys in the tackle store who claims he's gonna make a very Christmas Spectacular worthy contribution to the show, but I feel like he doesn't have the sand to pull it off. But we're gonna find out. You know? So I've been teasing him for a minute, and he claims that he does. So we'll just leave you with that and hope that that's the case. But Hill's always good to hear from you. Always fun. For those that don't know, Hill's 90% of the time when he calls the show is in the surf, and he calls with the earbuds on, and he is surfing.
You can
hear the surf in the background when you listen to Hill's calls.
Cool. So
when he said he just had a bite, he wasn't kidding. I guess.
Wow.
Hills calls a lot, usually standing, ankles in the sand. That's how he gets his morning in.
Stripers,
man. Pretty cool. What is the deal with the stripers this year?
I want one real bad.
It's been a building, really. It's been a handful of years. It seems like it happened after the big El Nino.
Okay.
Right? 10 years ago.
Do you think it's something that's here to stay, or is it like a
freak
occurrence?
It's already here. Yeah, it is here. And the thing is, there was a period like 5 years ago, there was a tremendous amount of like 14, 15, 18 inch, you know, like up to that.
Stripers. Here locally?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And there's a lot of 10-pounders now. I mean, there's a lot of, like, 6 to 10-pounders.
That would make my month if I caught a 10-pound striper out of the surf.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it would make my dinner plate.
Corey still owns the record for having, like, the coolest fish in the surf. Yes, you do. Corey's got a giant striper from the surf that, like, you know, like, before it was... It's always been cool, but, like, before there was a spotlight on it.
Well, there's definitely much larger that have been caught, and there's 19 pounds. I mean, that's...
You caught a 19
pounder? Yes. From the surf.
Yeah.
You've never mentioned it?
Well, I don't know.
I think it's one of the coolest fish under your belt.
Yeah.
Like, it's so rad.
Here's a funny story. There was some work being done on the house, and I got in from the bait boat, and I borrowed Mark Larson's rod from Seaforth. Like, dude, I can't go home. I'm, like, screwed.
You were literally just trying to kill time.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. And 19-pounder.
What beach?
I'll tell you.
I'm sorry I asked.
No. It was Del Mar.
Ooh,
it was Del Mar fishing for halibut.
Okay. And what was the lure?
A 5-inch swim bait.
All right.
Done.
OG original. Yeah. That was before the Viejo existed.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
were you bombing it out there, or are you fishing?
No, it was like close? Right there in the whitewater.
Yeah. The waist to ankle deep zone.
Standing in like, shin deep water, and
you are surfing.
Crazy, right?
You're
a 19-pounder. Not a 19-incher, a 19-pounder.
Yeah, but the reality is there. You can get that right now. I mean, that's the cool thing, you know, from the border up to where he's fishing in Ventura, Oxnard, Santa Barbara area.
And when you say that, this is the first time I can ever remember in my lifetime that guys at the border are catching them like in numbers.
Yeah.
You know,
like. So there was like 8 years ago, it was kind of a secrety kind of, you know, they're getting them at the power plant at Los Alamitos or, you know what I mean? Like little secret spots, but it is growing. It has bloomed in the last 5 years. It's legit.
Well, I'd love to see them get in the bay and kind of, you know, set up in the bay.
That'd be really cool.
I have a fly rod guy that I know. That gets a few.
Oh, yeah?
Regular. I'm just saying.
You're a ghost.
Right
I don't
now?
Know. He's
yeah,
a ghost.
Yeah. Right
I'm just saying.
I talk to you all the time.
I know.
I never heard of a fly rod guy that's just getting stripers. Yeah. Really,
I know. I don't want to give up his name.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
But he feeds
give
me.
Give up a slot. I don't care about his name either. I'm kidding. The phone lines are absolutely back solid. Let's jump back in.
Oh, talking all this good stuff. How about John? John joining us from San Diego.
Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. Two quick questions for you. I wanted to get a few more tips on fishing LA Bay, and I'm wondering if any of you have ever tried painting your lead weights, and you know what kind of paints would adhere to lead weights.
No. Interesting.
Yeah, I've never personally painted a lead weight, but two fish jigs
you make one of the best.
Yeah, we do paint lead weights, you know, and the exact, it's various specific, like, ingredients that go into that paint that sticks to lead, and I unfortunately don't know it. I have seen guys spray paint their lead before.
You guys took something that was very popular, and that's the Eddie Bomb, you know, the sinker-style lure of tuna fishing, and, I mean, frankly, one of the most popular lures that we sold. They sink fast, they work really good, it's a good size. But selling a sinker, you know, to a tackle guru person like yourself wasn't good enough. So you put a two-fish jig spin on it and came out with the Midnight Rider.
Yeah, and it was a great seller for Fisherman's Landing this year. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It is a sinker with eyes on it, you know, and it blows my mind how effective all year that particular lure was. Who would ever thought, you know?
Crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
It's the perfect level. See, that's the thing that was made for me. I'm the same way. I can't just fish with a sinker.
No.
I'm still if you're fishing with one, that's all you're doing. You're fishing with a sinker, but it's got a little shape to it.
Sure.
It's got a little face to it. It's got some pizzazz.
I gotta
have something more than that.
And to his question about LA Bay,
yeah, what's the deal, boys?
A lot of that depends on like what you're kind of into or what you're going down there for. For me, it could not be more about Cabrilla. I want to catch leopard grouper, and that's it. I tell them when I get on the boat, the first thing, Cabrilla solamente. I only want to catch Cabrilla. So for me, it's pretty simple what you need for Cabrilla. You know, you need a combination of surface irons. You know, for me, it's a two fish jigs, Giga, and a 240 and a mini. If you had those three, you're kind of doing well. And then I like 170 size jerk baits. 170 size jerk baits. A lot of companies make really good ones. I'm really partial to the AFCO version and the Yozuri version, but Shimano makes another one, and I've seen the Shimano kind of dominate everything else and not at times. And beyond that, you don't really need much more. You know, I did have a trip down there where we'd get on a spot, you'd kind of whale on them, and it'd be doubles and triples, and then the you'd kind of pick through the school, and I would go grab my other rod that had a MC slug on it, a 7-inch slug that Corey made special for me with a 2-ounce lead head, and I would cast that out, let it hit the bottom, and I would just speed burn it like I was pretending to be Corey Sandin. I would just speed burn it and stop and go, speed burn it and stop and go, and I got some of the most violent rip your rod out of your hand bites from that when nothing else would get a bite, you know.
And that was mostly like after the flurry went
in? That was after we had picked them clean. Now, in hindsight, I probably could have started with that and seen where that went, but I always utilize that to kind of try to target the fish that were below the fish we were.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can immediately visualize a scenario. All that fish is up top and all that activity is high, and then the dust settles, but there's the one or two fish that didn't get in the mix that are hunkered in the hole that, there's one last shot to eat or not eat, and they were smart and they didn't get caught up in the mix of the craziness. And
kind of in my mind's eye, I was thinking that would be a great presentation to potentially catch something out of the ordinary. You know, I really want to catch a golf grouper or a broom tail or, I'm not Rock on Rick Max. I don't have any golden groupers under my belt, but I want one of those too. Yeah. So I thought that would be a good, but to be honest with you, most fish that I hooked in that fashion rocked me so violently, I never even got a good look at what I hooked.
That sounds like fun.
Love it, man. I'm in.
Man.
I'm in. Well, a great phone call, and appreciate it very much. How about this text coming through? It says, good morning, guys. I bought a brand new Talica 12 and 16A at Tackle Days this year. The reels have been amazing. They really are everything you guys had mentioned, and I'm surprised at how much better I like them than the previous generation. I'm curious if you guys might know when we could expect to see the 8 or 10 size. I'd really love to add that to the arsenal. Thanks for the great show from Alex in San Carlos.
Are they coming?
Just like, I mean, we tried so hard to pull every little thing we could out of Benny yesterday. Who is the guy if you want to pull info out of? Because he's a tester. You know, and Shimano, one thing they do is they are so good about field testing all of their stuff before it comes out to market. So there's little guys that we can peel good info out of. And Pete tried real hard yesterday.
I heard that.
Captain Benny to slip up. I feel like he got a little something. I can't confirm it. And I tried. Let me tell you, I tried to get that out of Benny. He's a company man, he didn't say, but I feel like we might have made a Freudian slip and got a cool piece of nugget info, but I can't be sure. The 8 and 10, although I cannot tell you this with any type of certainty, and it is the truth, I would tell you if I knew. I mean, just following the system that it's been with the reintroduce at ICAST, I think that you'll probably see that reel this July. Yeah. You know, that's what they've been doing. They've been taking the two of the series. They've made the new versions. They've introduced them at ICAST. I would suspect that that's when we will see something. I got no confirmation on that. That's just an educated guess. But Alex, my guess is you'll see that reel in July.
In ICAST, the industry show happens in the beginning of July, like the first week,
exactly
right there. So that's when they would publicly debut it, right?
Yeah. I mean, nothing more than a guess, but that's what I'm thinking.
It kills me that Benny Florentino knows and he won't tell us.
I know. Come on, Benny.
Benny Florentino is a lot like Corey Sandin. They're both piggy banks of secrets. And I want to know these secrets, man.
No secrets here.
I love it. Well, why don't we jump back into the phones, Corey?
Oh, Sam. How about Sam from Irvine? Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Great show, guys. Hey, I'm watching you on your YouTube thing here.
And I'm sorry.
The thing I'm saying is you should have like a presentation table there, you know, to put like your slug base so we can see what you're talking about. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like it.
Back to the my question. I'm not a big bass guy, but twice I've been to the Coronado specifically this year. Like one that's on a Mexicat and one's on the Bremen to just target bass. But I just pulled out, all this swim bait that I had, and I have a wax swing rod with a 300 EJ on it, and that I use that a lot. But what would Corey, take to fish the Coronados, your swim baits and stuff like that? What amazed me is like a yellow-headed swim bait was like the killer one, but, some of those furry red and brown ones were too. But, I didn't know have fish the slug or anything like that, so...
For sure. I mean, that wax wing rod you're talking about is, a 7 and 8. I love the 7. The original 7-footer was kind of one of my... I still have a couple, as a matter of fact.
Was it the 7-foot-11 version?
Yeah, we might not have any more.
Well, either way, that's a cool setup.
It is. And it's got a lot of bend. For those that don't know, it's very parabolic.
Yeah.
But you could load up on a 20-pound yellow and still
totally
get them to the boat.
Yeah. And it's perfect for any type of swim bait, like lead head swim bait application, and even for kind of the smaller MC weedless size baits. I call it a 5-inch or a 4-inch bait. But for the larger baits, like a slug or the 8-inch weedless, it'd be a little soft.
And like fishing up against the islands like that.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, the kelp thing really isn't never been huge down there, but right up against the rocks, you know, you could be in 40, 50 feet of water. Everything from the surface iron along the edge to a swim bait down the foam.
Yeah.
Or a lead-headed slug, like even the 8-inch on a 1-ounce lead head going through that water column. Three things that come to my mind.
Yeah,
right,
totally. Yeah.
Done. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Hey, appreciate the phone call very much. Corey's on Find Out What's Going On the Water.
Hey, we've got Yusef, the angler's realtor, with the catch report and sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get your premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips with more team members. Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest and more same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by the location of Old Town where you can check them out at fishermansprocessing.com, and very convenient location there, right in Old Town on Taylor Street.
No doubt about it. We got the Angler's Realtor on the line. Good morning, Yusef.
Good morning, guys. Great show today. How are you doing?
We're doing good, man. Just having fun talking fishing.
Talking good times.
Good, good. All right, guys. Well, it's going into the we're for real going into winter fishing now.
December.
Squid. Yeah, exactly. It's about time, right? Squid are building still all around all the islands. Same story. We've got some rock fishing. There is still some yellowtail fishing over near Clemente. It looks like same stuff, morning, you know, prior to sunrise until first crack of light is when they're getting bit. That is kind of old info. We don't have as much coverage over there right now as we'd like. The big news right now is yellows. They're popping up between Crystal Pier and the northwest corner. It isn't a giant mass of fish, you know, it's normal this type of year stuff, but guys are getting them. And they've been pretty much popping up every day. I did skip Santa Monica Bay. Santa Monica Bay is still doing pretty well on the bass bite. Outside of that, we are rolling into this winter style fishing. It's mostly just rock fishing at this point. You know, deeper.
We'll take that report. Squid up and down the beach, opportunity for game fish, you know, always exists. It's not August. Like, no. It's not going to be roll up and limits every time, but you know what this does? There's lack of crowd. There's lack of people. And this is like when you earn, this is when you earn rad ones, like setting up, making your own bait or making your own bait and transporting it to somewhere else. I mean, just put in the work. Like, if you want to, like, you know, set a goal for a wintertime, like, put in the work of setting up and making squid somewhere and then transporting that to an area that you fish on regular but do the same thing with live bait. Like, take a tank of live squid to your then, you know, your little cod area where you've got your handful of stones and you usually pick off your fish, and see what happens when you fish that same deal set up appropriately with a tank of squid, and like watch the difference that you get to have. And you know, you earn wintertime fish, and there's something that's cool about it. And you said it best, Yusef, there's plenty of opportunities for it right now.
100%. And this is also a good time to get really good with your surface iron game. Make sure those irons are kicking, you know, and you know how to fish a surface iron. And this gives you lots of little pop-ups, you know, that you can chase down and really learn how to put those fish that are up and down, you know, on the boat. That's what makes a hero many times.
Great way to say it, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Now, you've mentioned that December, you know, or sometimes it's slow in the fishing thing. Your world in terms of the housing market seems to ebb and flow, but how's that been going with the Angler's Realtry?
Well, the past week has really kicked up a notch. We went from having like 2 to 3 showings a week at my listings to just going completely berserk again. So who knows? It's the holidays or something. I feel it in the air. We're going to start really moving some units here again, and this market's going to kick up again with interest rates lowering. So
I like
it. It's coming.
Well, if somebody wants to keep in touch with the best that's in the business, and boy, when we had you and your brother on the show, I mean, the number of calls and texts that were just flooding in about what a great experience they had with you on their behalf in the realtor game, how do we find you?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169, on social media at Cal Realty, or you can get me on my website, sportsmansrealty.com. If you'd like a free home evaluation, go to socalhomeeval.com, put in your address. I won't haunt you or bother you.
You're the best, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate it very much, Yusuf. And if you want to save $30 on a brand new membership to fishdope.com, you can use the code HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, saves you $30, and it's a great gift, 100% transferable. If you go fishing with a bud and he takes you all the time on his boat and you want to do something fun for the fishing season, get him a Fishdope subscription. Going to keep him in the zone, in the info all year long. Great report, Yusuf. Appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I think we've got a special report on the line, too, huh?
Yeah, we got the man, Captain Frank Lopresti's on the line. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Frank.
Well, good morning, Corey. Good morning, Rick. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Talking fishing. Pete is out of the studio, so it's just the three of us hanging out, having a good time this morning.
Well, thank God you got him doing your research, right?
That's right. You don't want to buy a car from a guy that didn't know how to drive, man. You got to keep that guy out fishing.
All right. Well, you're talking about this winter fishing, and usually December kind of slows down long range. It's just the opposite. It's better than ever. I don't know if you saw the picture of John Collins' fish. Did you see that?
We did, and we talked about it yesterday. But for those that haven't had an opportunity, what a trophy. Tell us about what John did on that last trip on the RP.
Well, he had a 290-pounder.
Wow.
Along with another 240-pounder.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
You know, I love that for a limit.
He's doing very, very well. And I just wanted to talk about that for just a minute. I'm sure you got most of the report yesterday, but it's off the wall. Even this morning, Jonathan Yamati is putting the last touches of a few more bluefin, 90 to 120-pounders on the boat. And it's just phenomenal. Aliar had a great trip. He had some wahoo on his trip. All the yellowfin he wanted, bluefin, yellowtail, calico bass. I just don't know how it gets any better for a long-range trip.
We got a
and
text.
Also,
I was gonna say, we got a text from Eric Sheets. You know, Cal and Eric are going to be on the radio show next Sunday, and they've got the radio show on in the galley on the Supreme this morning, and they're coming home from that 10-day. And he basically just said, like, the boat is full. He goes, we're full of everything, and they did everything on that 10-day trip. Epic yellowfin, giant bluefin, they had wahoo, they had bass fishing, they had cod fishing, like everything that exists in SoCal, they did it on that 10-day trip. And like every one of those categories, it sounds like they smashed them. What a fun time of year to go fishing. And that was an Arizona Supreme right now riding home.
Yeah, they were catching calico bass all day yesterday and throwing them back and having a good time. So it was, you know, it's just been phenomenal fishing. And I can also mention that Aliar's got a 3-day trip leaving Tuesday. It's got four openings if anybody wants to jump on last minute. And that's pretty much it. It just doesn't get any better than it is right now, okay?
You had talked about those December trips that Aliar had a while ago, and people were, we're hesitant because who knows if that fish was going to remain good. Well, it didn't just remain good. It got better. I mean, what an opportunity to go fishing. And I think the last time we had Aliar on and he was talking about, I've got a couple of spots on a couple of trips in December, and then I don't have room again until the following year in December again. Like, this is an opportunity to get to go on that boat and just see some unbelievable fishing.
Yes, it is. That's for sure. All right, Rick, Corey, thank you all very, very much. Talk to you later.
Brandon's in here, too.
I'm also here. Yeah. Hi, Frank.
Morning, Brandon. All right. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
Frank, appreciate the phone call very much. Well, that's going to wrap up one hell of a fishdope.com report. Hey, Corey?
That is. I mean, hey, the three of us are in here with Frank. And hey, sponsored
Brandon, too.
You're right, exactly.
If the greatest of all time doesn't want to mention me, that's his right. All right?
Oh, it is sponsored by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. Focus your fishing on the most productive areas by using Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature. They also have the chlorophyll, currents, and more. With Terrafin Mobile, you can access your charts on your phone or your mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming. More great info, more great phone calls, more of you, and Brandon, too. When we return, it's Let's Talk Hookup on the Sports Grid Radio Network and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Hi, this is Chrissy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Park Your Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it: fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Long-range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever-drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body. When throwing jigs, the Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability, you'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo Zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedros Island. We now have two lodges to choose from and both sit on the cliff edge with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing from the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and I'll tell you, man, I've had such a fun time today.
It's great.
We still have a half an hour left, right? But just talking with Brandon and Rick, we've talked everything from salto to striper in the surf to good yellowtail fishing right now on the San Diego.
Super fun to be doing what we would otherwise be doing if the three of us were in a room together, but we're doing it on the radio. Super cool.
And the lines are full, but if you do want to join us, 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. Rick's going through the text if you're watching us live right now.
So many good ones, man.
A lot of them. It's crazy. And, we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego, who is currently, this last week,
It's
probably had 100 yellows on the boat.
Yeah, they're on them. They got them dialed for sure.
Matt,
White Lightning, Jig Jesus, whatever you want to call him, he knows how to catch a yellowtail anywhere he goes.
Which is cool, because a lot of people don't know, and those listening will now know that you talked about it earlier, how you and Matt grew up together as kids.
Yeah, we worked at Fisherman's Landing when we were both in our early 20s, I came in late, for his career there and for Rick's career there. But when I got there, Rick and Matt both taught me basically everything I know about surface iron fishing or jig fishing, period. It's been super fun growing up with him, and it's super cool to see him the star captain now.
He's the man, right, on the San Diego.
I always say the same thing, man. The rental room at Fisherman's Landing is what clearly breeds the very best three-quarter day, full-day local yellowtail fishermen. Both Booger and Brawla's first job was working at the rental room at Fisherman's
Landing.
That's
crazy,
I'm assuming at some point Pete's going to be running a sonar and just kicking ass, like, at some point. Like, it's got to be happening.
But then I think about all the cool captains that have come from the other side, Seaforth.
Oh, my God.
All right?
To the who's who list.
Dude, hearing Joel Ralston on this show.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, man, you got to go back and listen to it. He's such a cool guy and nothing but a people pleaser. and just a megaphone of a voice, and just a cool guy, you know?
The Condor has always been a great boat. It's big, it's comfortable, it's been at Fisherman's Landing for years. It doesn't need the accolades, and I don't say this like it needed the help, but what a fun addition to an already successful operation, but also like a fun, fresh, new breath. Like, I don't mean this in like the way that the boat was bad. It's just, it's extra good now, and he brings that uniqueness to it. Like, Joel's a great captain and puts people on fish with the best of them. What he does better than anybody is when it's an adverse condition, you didn't catch him. The vibe on the boat is fun with him behind the wheel no matter what.
And he's
if you're
fishy.
Catching him, it's that much better, and he's screaming and yelling with the best of them. But, like, that guy can turn a bad time into a good one really, really good.
And he mentioned a name that I could not imagine if the two of them were together.
Oh, my God.
Tim Lemsky.
That can't happen. Like, that's just not a good thing. Yeah. That was a blast from the past, and that should, I don't know if we have enough to make that happen or not.
It
would be fun, that's for sure.
Oh my God.
The phones are packed up. Everybody's dying to talk. Why don't we jump back into them, Corey?
Let's do it. How about, what am I seeing here? Tom from Temecula.
What's up, Tom?
Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. Great show. Great information. Encyclopedia of fishing information today. Anyway, I got a question on a rod. Looking at, the tuna shows on TV, when they're catching those big bluefin, they're using, seems like, longer rods and roller guide rods. And, looking back on some of the videos from yesteryear on trips out of San Diego, a lot of those rods for the tuna were roller guide rods. I have a couple of those that I used for marlin back in the early days and caught a lot of big marlin on them. Is there advantages or disadvantages to using those for, like, knife fishing, straight up and down stuff for the tuna that we have here every year?
With rod components, there's always going to be advantages and disadvantages to both. The roller guides were incredibly popular out here for a long period of time because the way that we were fishing, they did a better job. We used all monofilament line, which wore down at a much faster rate than Spectra does. Or if we were, using a combination of the two, the top shots were really long. So there was a long amount of time that your line was wearing through the guides when you're fishing mono, and roller guide just did a flat out better job of protecting that line than a ring guide did. It rolled off of a roller instead of being drug over a ring, and so your mono stayed at a higher amount of strength for a lot longer, and it was the best mousetrap. And there's plenty to argue that it still is. What has also changed is some of the insert materials that are used in guides nowadays are not just a round piece of stainless steel. High technology insert materials, the silicon carbide and silicon nitrate and all of these like fancy materials that they use that are now no longer, the general term was ceramic. Oh, that rod has ceramic inserts and you don't want to use that because the Spectra's going to cut through it. Well, that's just not how it is any day. They're made that are very strong but have super low friction so the line rolls across them. And we, out here in Southern California, we use a lot of Spectra these days where it doesn't matter what you're rolling that thing across. It's such a strong material that you likely don't need it. So sometimes a ring guide will allow you a little bit lighter or maybe a lesser cost or a real big entry so your connection goes through there. Going back to your question, why you see those on the Wicked Tuna guys, their rigging is a lot different than ours, and the style of roller guide that they use is very big. Like, some of those guides, you can put a number two pencil through their opening.
Wow.
And the reason is they use a lot of swivels in their connections that wind through the guides and onto their reels. So with as strong and as slick as an SIC ring guide is, what it doesn't like to have is a swivel ripping through the guide train, with a big fish pulling it through. That can chip and then create damage. So those roller guides for them are incredibly strong and provide the longevity. And you still, you have the roller, which is a good thing. But, the rigging that they use where a swivel might be going through the connection and through all the guides won't damage it like it would on a ring.
Well, I have a question, though, Rick. Why would they... with all the killer knots out, why would they use a swivel? Like, what? To unswivel the tangles, or
I think a lot of that is they're fishing super heavy monofilament, and they're oftentimes fishing like large,
300 or 400 pound mono. Or?
Yeah, I don't even know how thick it is, but and oftentimes they're fishing a large dead bait that just kind of drift with,
yeah,
and just spins
in
a circle.
The spin would be a thought of mine.
So the swivel. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know either. You know what I mean? But like you say, big dead baits that are in the rod holder that are rigged very specifically. Like,
yeah,
that was one of the fun things when all the Wicked Tuna guys were on the show. Like, that's what they had in their contract, is like, we will do all these things, we'll show you all our fisheries. You all but never see the highliners rigging their baits on the show. And like, that was part of their contract, is we're not going to show how we do this.
Really?
Yeah, and they have a way of fishing dead baits that drift in the current that look good. You know, I mean, you take the evolution of ballyhoo fishing from over the years. I mean, that's all taking a dead bait that, you know, rigged properly, it looks alive, and they do a really good job getting bites on those big ones on dead baits.
Fishing on the RP chunk fishing.
Yeah.
Same, I mean, it's similar but downscaled version,
totally.
Right?
And I say that, like, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know why the swivels, but, you know, that's how those guys do it. And sometimes the rigging drives you crazy.
And that's why the roller guides.
When we went to Louisiana, they make stuff so difficult for no reason. You know, like the rigging was like, okay, we're going to take this Spectra, we're going to do a Bimini, we're going to do this, we're going to put this line on there, we're going to tie this, and we're going to, then we're going to have a heavier piece of leader down below, we're going to do this. I'm like, well, why wouldn't we just attach the leader to the Spectra? Like, let's just do that. I can do that in like 2 seconds. Nah, it's not how we do it down here. It's like, well, I'm pretty sure this works, but let's try it. And like, see, this works great. Like, yeah, it's just not our thing, man. We get paid to be a captain, man. I'm going to show you some captain things right now. I put a bunch of loops and leaders in this. But hey, you know, everybody's different the way they different, for sure.
Yeah,
to one of Tom's questions in there, you know, he asked about, could he still use his old roller-guided rod to nighttime fish for bluefin here locally? It's a question we get a lot in the tackle shop, you know, and the simple answer to that question always is yes, but a lot of it depends on how long is that rod. You know, a lot of those older rods that were all roller guided and were meant to be fished in your harness and belt, and they're 5.5 foot in length, you know, or maybe even 5 foot in length, and that is just not quite appropriate for your nighttime bluefin jig fishing.
Too short?
You know, it's just too short.
Too short.
When it comes to business time and the gaffs come out, you know, those things are going to do big looping circles, and if they rub you on the bottom of that boat, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's just not how we fish now. You know, at the time, the reels didn't make as much power or make as much leverage, and you needed your rod to make up for it. You also, at that time, you didn't put the rod on the rail. So the shorter the rod was, the more leverage you were able to make with it, because you were having to make up for the fact that you're doing this with a 6.0 and not a TAC 20. You know, the TAC 20 low gear, all you need to do is turn the handle, and the handle is going to bury the rod tip. The 6.0 wasn't going to do that. You were just going to wind against your drag slipping, so you needed the rod to move it. You flash forward to now and trying to put that thing on the rail, your 5.5 foot rod just doesn't give you enough length outboard of the railing. So when that fish is doing its inside circle, your line's going to be rubbing on the underside of the boat. So now if you're fishing with that short rod and he makes his inside circle, you need to get the rod off of the rail, get your whole body leaned over, and get that rod pointed straight down to correct the angle. So now you're trying to then get the rod back into position to get a couple of turns when he's on the outside so you can still gain line. It's just, you become to the point where you're fighting your tackle more than you're not. It doesn't mean the rod doesn't work. It's just not the way that we do it the most effective now. You could still put yourself in a belt and harness, and if you had the room, of course you could still kill that fish. The rod didn't stop working, but we have found a much easier on the angler style to do it.
It's so crazy to think 25 years ago it was so uncool to put your rod on the rail. And now it's the technique.
What I love about that, too, is like the guys who, you know, it's the opposite about most things. Like, the guys who developed that were the crew members. Like, you know, it's like, oh, you're a wuss if you do that. And it was the crew of the guys back then, like, what are you, dumb, man? Do this. Check this out. Look how easy this is, you know? And it just came from there. Like, I think it's pretty darn cool. Well, hey, let's grab another phone call,
okay,
Corey.
Okay, let's do it. How about Charlie? Charlie calling from La Mirada. Good morning, Charlie.
What's up, Charlie? Looks like we might have lost Charlie there. So, great text. Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Charlie.
Good morning, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning, Pete, Rick, and guest. A great show this morning. My question is, I originally fished for stripers up in the Delta, up in the San Francisco Bay, with my uncle as a younger kid, and we used to fish with bullheads and mudsuckers and, in some occasions, grass or ghost shrimp. Is that application doable out here on the southern coast that I'm hearing all these stripers showing up, or is that mainly for the in bay of San Francisco Bay?
I bet it would work 100%. I mean, mudsuckers are a thing here. A lot of people don't have any clue what you're talking about. I do.
When you say bullhead, are you referring to bullhead catfish?
No, they're similar to a mudsucker.
Yeah, so we would
like the horns coming out the head.
You was confused.
Yeah, so we used to snip the horns. Yeah, we would snip the horns off of the bullheads because sometimes, on occasions, the thorns on the bullhead would catch the fish and they would break off as you were reeling the fish in. So we would use the mooching rig with the bullhead.
But I'm so glad to also not be aware of this at all. I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
This is some NorCal nonsense.
Yeah. You have none of this?
No.
I think that's awesome. Yeah.
But Charlie, you can catch a striper on that stuff here, but the reason they catch them on jerk baits, swim baits, that kind of thing, is they're really oriented toward the grunion and the smelt and the stuff in the surf, you know. Sand crabs, they catch them on that too, but much cooler to catch them on a reaction bait, too, you know? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You can do it right here in our backyard,
that's
man.
That's a great one. Hey, I appreciate the phone call very much. And just to sneak in another as we're coming down the line there, Darren from Menifee sent a text. Good morning, guys. What a fun show. I've had a couple Bubba Blades break on me, and I'm dying to reassess my fillet knife situation. I'm on my way to fish the artificial reef to Mission Bay, and I'm hoping you guys could give me a recommendation on where I should go for new fillet knives. Corey, I know you're super into the harvest on fish. What you got a recommendation you could send his way, fillet knife wise?
I own several of the Aptco blades.
Mm-hmm.
Never broken, never, you know, no issues with them at all. Stay sharp, easy to sharpen, but the good old Forstner, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, still the best or one of, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to be adequate in sharpening with the stone and getting it down. Where the Aptco, it's already got the edges and everything there, and it's a lot easier to sharpen just easily on a stone.
But if he wants to obtain one of these fine quality knives, there's no other place I can think of other than Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop.
Hey.
the largest, most spectacular display of fillet knives available, and those Aptcos I also used all year, and they're pretty incredible how well they hold up.
And on his way to the Mission Bay Reefs, he could stop at Sea Fork, tie up right at the dock, and
I guess he could.
You want to talk about another great thing that people always talk about, like gifts and what to get. You know, there's never a time that's not a great thing to have. I mean, even whether it be one of those new Gamakatsu knives, whether it's one of those great fillet knives from AFCO, whether it is a Victor Notch, you know, a very shape or style, like that's something that is always well received. It's under $100, whatever you decide, and something that they're going to have forever. And having two fillet knives, never a bad deal. Like mine migrate into the kitchen far more than they live in their, you know, in the real bags. So.
I keep one in the boat, one in the house.
Totally. And, I mean, just different scenarios. You know, if you have a great 6-inch blade knife, it's nice to have an 8-inch blade. It's nice to have a good call, and I'm with you.
The AFCO were good enough. I bought one. And I bought two more, so just to let you know.
I like it. I like it very much. Well, let's try and sneak one more caller in there, Corey.
How about, is that Mike?
Looks like
Jake from Point Loma.
What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love hearing about the surface iron stuff. I wanted to pick you guys' brains. I know everybody has their favorite surface iron, if it's a 7X or JRI. I was wondering if you guys could quickly share a story of maybe your favorite iron, the best swimmer, and what it was. Thanks, guys.
Well, about 30 seconds, and we'll let the surface iron guru answer that. Brandon, go ahead.
Well, I guess my favorite surface iron that I ever owned was a J-Pot. I grew up watching RJ and Shorty on the New Seaforth fishing small jigs, and the J-Pot was one that they often had tied on their rod. And one day I found in Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop a J-Pot that outperformed every lure I ever owned, and I lost it to a bad gaff job one time on a three-quarter day boat. And I won't mention the person, but he's a famous person that missed the gaff shot, and it still breaks my heart to this day.
My favorite lure that I have tied on my rod that I haven't taken off all Coronado Island season is a two-fish jigs 270. It's what I fish with. It's not because Brandon is sitting next to me. It's because it fished great all year long, and I can buy another one tomorrow that's going to work just as good if I need to, and I think you make a hell of a lure, and I'm I'm in love with it. It's my favorite jig that
there
I have.
Attaboy. That's my dog.
I dig it.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the San Diego when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app and that Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. James Holst here with North Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at North Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest-lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36-volt, and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all North Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service before and after the sale. Check us out online at norsklithium.com. That's N-O-R-S-K-Lithium.com. Or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see North Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood or Anglers Marine in Anaheim and see why North Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered. North Lithium.
Give your boat the love it deserves and install a custom sea deck kit from Blue Seas Fabrication. Blue Seas is the West Coast's only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Sea deck upgrades the look and feel of any boat, old or new. Sea deck non-skid decking adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication custom fit your deck, bridge, and interiors with stylish, durable, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean sea deck. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience. Hey, San Diego, the Ford Get Holiday Ready sales event is going on now at your San Diego County Ford dealers. The biggest deals of the year to finish 2024, featuring America's best-selling truck, Ford F-Series, leading for 47 straight years. Or check out the full lineup of versatile Ford SUVs, including Bronco or Bronco Sport. Don't wait. Come take a test drive today. Get holiday ready only at your local San Diego County Ford dealers. They'll be glad to hook you up.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water, the culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life, to achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide, rule the water.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out. Go ahead, Brandon, flip the honors there. Hey, look at that. A texter happens to be Mark.
Mark and La Quinta.
There it is. Congratulations.
Mark, appreciate it very much. Boys, this was a super fun show, getting to hang with you both. Great time. Not nearly enough info or not nearly enough time for all the info to give out, but thanks for doing this when Pete was out of town. Man, I had a lot of fun. It was awesome.
Dude, from Surf Halibut, Salto, Surface Iron Fishing, count me in.
Yeah, we'll take it. Brandon had a great time, and look forward to buying some two-shoes jigs from you at the Tackle Store this year. Yeah.
We'll
that's for sure. Hey, appreciate you listening. Another great show coming for you next week. Weekend next Saturday, Mike Lum and Frank LaPresse are both going to be joining us. We'll be talking Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea. And the next Sunday, Cal and Eric from Cal's Custom Built Reels will be joining us. Eric fresh off that 10-day trip on the Supreme. A couple of great shows next Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Sports Grid Radio Network, Facebook, and YouTube Live. We'll see you then.